So take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. As we're going to look at the topic today of no greater love. You know, today we take the time to honor our veterans. Many men and women have sacrificed to keep you and me safe. They've sacrificed their safety, going places where their lives could be taken away from them. They have sacrificed their time away from family. You know, sometimes we forget that point. You know, we talk about how they sacrificed their lives for the country, but sometimes we forget that they have to leave family behind. And they go months and a long time without seeing their friends and their family. They sacrifice the comforts of home and go into hostile territory. Why do the men and women of our military do this? Because of love. They love this country and its people. And so they fight to keep us safe. They are willing to lay down their lives for the cause of the country. There is no more remarkable display of love than to lay down one's life for what one believes in. This is what Jesus did for us. He gave his life on the cross so that you and I can be free from sin that holds us captive. As we celebrate Veterans Day today, we will look at the greatest sacrifice of love, the love that Jesus had by laying down his life, and we'll see how we are to respond to that act. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. This is Jesus speaking, this is my commandment. Now notice, guys, that this says this is my commandment. It doesn't say this is my suggestion. It doesn't say this is my if you want to. It says this is my commandment. Okay, so what is his commandment? This is my commandment that you love one another. Oh, man. I have to love people? Yes. This is my commandment that you love one another. How are we? Well, okay. So what does that mean? How are we love one another? As I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love us? He died on the cross for us. So he says, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful passage that you've given to us. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us today as we look at this text. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and open our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see in our text is we see the need to love like Jesus. In verse 12, 13, and verse 17, it says, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. Verse 12 and verse 17 bookmark this text with an important command from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that command is to love one another. Now, both verse 12 and 17 make us know that this is a command. Therefore, it's not an option. It's not something that we can choose to do if we want to. It's not something that we can do if we feel like it. It is something that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have been commanded to love one another. And we don't have to always like each other, but we are commanded to love each other. Love is more than just speech. It requires action. Jesus did not just speak love, but he displayed love by giving his life on the cross so that you and I could be free. We don't simply tell our kids that we love them. We show them our love through our actions. The same is true with our spouse. We don't just tell our spouse that we love them. We show them through our actions. The same is true with each other. We cannot just say we love each other. We must show it through our actions. One of the saddest truths that we see, and it breaks my heart as a pastor to have to get up here and say this, some of the meanest people in the world are Christians. Some of the most cynical, hateful, spiteful, bitter people you can find in a church. And it shouldn't be that way. How many times have people left church over petty things? I didn't get my way. It didn't go what I thought. Well, so-and-so didn't like this or that. And that's not love. Love is not about our feelings. If you want to talk about feelings, go see a psychiatrist. Love is not about feelings. It is about a choice to act because of the call that Jesus has placed on our lives. We don't love because we feel like it. We love because Jesus told us to. And we are to love all people. We are to love each other in spite of each other. And we are to seek the well-being of each other. We are to love because of the love that Jesus has shown us. How we love each other shows the world how we love God. Let me say that again. The way we treat each other and love each other shows the world how we truly feel about God. Amen. That's kind of scary, isn't it? One commentary says, by an unbreakable chain, love for God is tied to and verified by love for other believers. If we do not love one another, the Bible says we do not love God. And we as Christians, we're called to love each other. And half the time, we act like we don't even want to be around each other. And that's sad. As the people of God, we are to love each other to the point that we are at peace and united under the banner of Christ. The church should be a place of unity and peace. Now, there's a difference between unity and uniformity. That doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but it does mean that we come together united in peace with one another because we love each other. There should be no divisions among the people of God. There should never be divisions in the church. There should never be sides in the church. It breaks my heart when I see churches divided into sides. That should never happen. We should love each other and seek the well-being of each other because that is what Christ has called us to do. We also need to understand that love is sacrifice. Genuine love, real love, requires sacrifice. We make sacrifices for the ones we love. I put several miles on my car when Katie and I were dating, and she lived in South Carolina and I lived in West Virginia. There's a lot of miles put on the car. And she made her parents put a lot of miles on their cars to come see me. I don't know how many. Guys, I'm going to get some of you guys in trouble this morning. I don't know how many Christmas movies I've watched with my wife because I love her. And I'm willing to make sacrifices to spend time with her. I get down on the floor and play with little dollies with my daughter. because that's what she wants Daddy to do. Amen. There was one time that my hands were covered in stickers. She decided to do my nails with stickers. Why? Because I make sacrifices for the ones that I love. Because as the people of God, we are willing to make sacrifices for people that we love. We cannot simply say, I love you. We need to show that love through our actions. The greatest love is a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that does not keep score. Well, you did this. Well, you did that. No. Love does not keep score. It is a love that is not earned. We don't love because somebody earns it. We love because we're commanded to. It is the love that is freely given. It is a love that puts into action what is said. There is no greater love than the willingness to give up your life. Now, we all have people we would gladly die for. And then there's people we'd like to push in front of the danger. What is beautiful is that Jesus took our place and called us friends. He willingly gave up his life so that you and I could have the freedoms that we have today. We are able to come into this service today and honor our veterans because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have freedoms to come in and worship God every Sunday. It always breaks my heart when Memorial Day comes around, because Memorial Day is a day that we honor those that have died and lost their lives, and so many people take that as a vacation day instead of taking time to honor those that gave their lives for our country. Amen. For so many people, Memorial Day has just become another vacation, long weekend to get away and do what we want to do. Yeah, and in one defense, our people gave their lives so we can do whatever we want to do. But often we forget about those that lost their lives, and we should be in church that day because that's when we take a memorial for Jesus giving his life on the cross for us. Amen. And it's incredible when we think about this. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Master, gave his life on the cross for us. He died. Without Jesus, you and I would spend an eternity in hell. Without Jesus, we would spend an eternity in a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dies, where the flame is never quenched. Yes. Hell is a real place, and it is reserved for those who reject the truth about Jesus. And so we are called to give our hearts and our lives to Him because He gave His life on the cross for us. And because of what he did, we should obey him. One of his greatest commands is for us to love each other. The way that you and I treat each other matters. We are to love each other in the same way Christ loves us. What's interesting in our American culture, in our American society, that word love has lost its meaning. Because in the same sentence, I say, I love my wife and I love pizza. Well, the way I love pizza better not be the same way I love my wife. But we throw that word around, don't we? And it doesn't mean, oh, I love that shirt. Man, I love me a good hamburger. Ain't that right, Mr. Thomas? We use this word like crazy. Well, in the Greek, there's three different words used for love. There is brotherly love, there is erotic love, which is between a husband and a wife, and then there's the self-sacrificing love, the word known as agape. That's the word that's used in John 3:16. For God so agape loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Guess which one's used here and how we are to love each other. That's right, agape. Self-sacrificial love is how we are to love one another. And so we are to love like Jesus. The second thing that we see in our text today is we are to follow after Jesus. Verse 14 and 15, you are my friends if, notice that word, if. You know, we like to look over those little words, don't we? You are my friends if. You do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Our response to Jesus for the magnificent love that he has shown us is to obey. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning because it came up in our Sunday school text. Faith should lead to obedience. Somewhere we as churches all across America began to preach, give your life to Christ, walk this aisle, say this prayer, get baptized, get on the church membership, and you're good. It don't work that way. Real life change takes place when we give our life to Christ. When we give our life to Christ, it's not just about saying a prayer, walking an aisle, and joining a church. It is about a life transformation. It is about being transformed into the men and women that Jesus Christ has called us to be. It's about changing the way that we live our lives. It's about seeking to follow after Him in obedience. If you are truly a Christian this morning, you will want to obey the Bible. Because that's what real change looks like. What's incredible is the word that's used here for friends in the original language. It's a word that talks about the inner circle of a king. You know how a king would have friends around him that he would talk to and that he would trust and he'd tell them what he was doing. But did they still have to obey him? Oh yeah, that's what the word friend means here. It's the inner circle of a king. We know the king's secrets. We know what the king's doing because he's revealed it to us. But we are still to obey everything that he says. One commentary says, the friends of the king would be close to him and know his secrets, but they would also be subject to him and have to obey his commands. There is thus no conflict between being a friend and being a servant. As friends of Jesus, we are to keep his commands. Somehow we've got this idea that we can live our lives for Jesus, do whatever we want, and still get into heaven. This may be true, but it's not a heart of one who's changed by God. If we've truly been transformed and changed by God, this is not what's in our heart. Throughout the Bible, we see the need to obey. We don't get to do what we want. We do what Christ has called us to do. Friends of Jesus will follow after and obey Jesus. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. The commands that we have been given by our Lord and Savior, they're not burdensome. They're there for a reason. We have been saved to serve, not sit. And somehow Christians have got this mindset that we are saved to sit in a pew and do nothing. We are saved to serve. We are to get involved in the work of Christ. One way we do this is through the local church. We love each other and serve together in obedience to what Christ has called us to do. As friends of Jesus, we are to continue his work, seeking to build up the kingdom of God and make his name great instead of making a name for ourselves. He is our master, and he has given us the task to continue his earthly ministry as his disciples. We are to obey him. And you know what's even more awesome? We know what we're supposed to do. We don't get to use the excuse, well, I don't know what God expects of me. Nope, that don't work. What is fantastic is we know what God expects of us. Here we see that Jesus has revealed the Father to his followers. We know what God has called us to do. We just don't do it. We know what God has called us to do. We know that we are to love one another. We know that we are to be kind with one another. We know that we are to take care of one another. We know that we are to restore relationships. We know that if we have a problem with another brother or sister in Christ, we're supposed to go to that person. We know that if I have a problem with Neil, then I'm supposed to go to Neil and talk to Neil about it and not go in the community and blab my mouth and say how awful Cuz is. And how many times does that happen in the church? How many times do we complain about something that gets voted on in a business meeting and we didn't have enough decency to come to the business meeting? But then we're going to complain about it. Well, I can't believe the church did this. Why weren't you there? First Wednesday every month. Amen. After the first Sunday. You know when it is. You know when we have them. If you ain't there, you can't complain about the decisions the church is making. You have no right. You know when it is.
Amen.
You know, how often does something go wrong, and instead of going, you know, somebody, I have heard many different people complain about me, but no one has had the guts to say it to my face, which is what the Bible says.
Amen.
Instead, they go in town and talk bad about me behind my back. Instead, they go to another deacon and talk bad about me to another deacon. Instead, they just leave the church. Show me where that's biblical. Show me where that's how we love one another. Show me where that's the Christian way. And we wonder what's wrong with our churches across America.
Amen.
Because we don't love each other. We only care about ourselves, and when we don't get our way, we leave. There is over 3.6 billion million lost people in South Carolina, and what are we doing about it? We know we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What's that mean? We're supposed to be in church. I mean, a lot of people have left the church since COVID. Churches all across America are hurting in numbers because of COVID. But the same people that stopped going to church are still going to football games, concerts, and grocery stores. It's like the only place you can catch COVID is a church. We still go everywhere else. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. We know that we're to bring our tithes into the storehouses. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If every member of the church gave 10% like the Bible commanded, we'd never want or need for anything in the church. And yes, it's 10% of what you make, not one or two. Tithe means tenth. It means 10%. And just for the record, 100% of what we make belongs to God. And He only asks for 10 and lets us keep 90. We know that we are to serve in the church. We know that God has called us to serve. We know that we are to tell the lost about Jesus. We know what we're supposed to do. We just don't do it. Somehow, churches across America have been lulled asleep by the enemy. They have become so inner-focused. They don't look like the community. They don't act like the community. They're not involved in the community. And they only care about themselves. And that's why they're dying. And that's why doors are closing. Because we're not trying to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We're not trying to see people saved. We're not on mission for the Lord and Savior. And we only care about those that are already coming in our church. And those that are already here. And we could care less about the lost. I don't know how many times I have been told, well, we got to take care of our own first. Last time I checked, our own are going to heaven.
Come on.
Do we need to take care of our own? Absolutely. But not at the expense of the lost. Not at the expense of those that are dying and going to hell. We have the Spirit and the Word, so we know what Jesus is calling us to do. The question is, will we follow Jesus or continue to do it our way? Jesus has revealed to us the Father. As His friends, we know what He expects. And we are to put that into practice. We are to obey what Jesus has called us to do. And the third thing that we see in our text is we are to teach others about Jesus. Verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you." We were picked to bear fruit. We were chosen to bear fruit. Not only are we to love like Jesus and follow after Jesus, but we are to bear fruit or tell others about Jesus. That's how we bear fruit. in this culture, disciples would pick their master. A disciple would come up and say, hey, I want to follow after you. And that's not how Jesus did it. Jesus went and said, hey, you, come. He picked them. And their goal was to bear fruit. As he invested in their lives, he expected that they would bear fruit that would show the world that they belonged to him. We know what God has called us to do. We know why he's called us to do it. We just have to do it. What does he expect of us? He expects us to bear fruit. We should be able to look at our lives and see the fruit that we bear. People should be able to look at me and say, man, he's bearing fruit for Jesus. We should be able to look at one another and say, man, they're making a difference for the kingdom of God. And here's the key. That fruit needs to remain. It's not a one day or a here and there thing. As followers of Jesus, we are to bear fruit consistently. In other words, we are to live for Jesus. We are called to bear fruit. Again, we are not saved to sit, but we are saved to serve. There is a lost world around us, a community in need, and we as the church have been called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to bear fruit. The fruit that we bear shows the type of tree that we are. You know, the Bible says we can know somebody by the fruit. When you look and you see these little pretty red balls, you're like, hey, that's an apple tree. When you look and see these nice little orange thingies hanging, that's an orange. We know a tree by its fruit. Guess what? The same is true for you and I.
Amen.
The way that we live our lives, the way that we interact with one another, the way that we work together shows the world the relationship that we have with Jesus.
Yes.
Our fruit shows the type of tree we are. Do we bear fruit of the world, or do we bear fruit of the Spirit? What does our love for each other show the world? Let me ask that. The way that we love each other, the way that we care for each other, the way that we interact with each other, the way we unite with each other, what does that show the world? Does it show the world that we love for God, that we love God, or we're only concerned about ourselves? How are we following after Jesus? How are we obeying him? What kind of fruit tree are we? What are we willing to risk to win the lost for Jesus? This is the question that I want to ask us this morning. What are we willing to risk to win the lost for Jesus? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zones and try new things? Or are we going to continue to say we've always done it this way? Are we willing to try new things to win the lost for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone, the way that we're used to doing things, the way that we've always done things, and try something new in order to see if we can bring people to Jesus Christ? Are we willing to put away our petty differences and love each other like Christ loves us?
Amen.
Are we willing to get over just the petty differences of not liking maybe this or that and just loving each other? Are we willing to step outside of the church's walls, go out into the community, and make a difference? It breaks my heart as pastor when we have a church event focused on reaching the lost, and hardly nobody from the church shows up. Are we willing to step outside of the church's walls, go into the community, and make a difference? You know, we still need some more help Saturday for feeding the shut-ins. We still need some more people that's willing to help us deliver, to be involved. You know, we're taking food to people. Some people don't go to church. Some people don't know Jesus. And we're using this as an opportunity to be on mission in our community for Jesus Christ. Are we willing to try something new? Who's willing to come to Karen after the church service and say, "Hey, I want to help"? Why is it that we only want to help if it benefits us? Our veterans have risked their lives for our freedom. Today we're here to celebrate Veterans Day. Our veterans, our loved ones, have risked their lives so that we can be here today. What will we risk for Jesus? What are we willing to risk for Jesus? We are to obey Christ, which means loving and serving each other. That means if you got a problem with me, you come to me and we talk about it. Because whether you like me or not as pastor, I've not spoken anything unbiblical. I've not done anything immoral. And I've not done anything unethical. There are no other complaints. But if you have a problem with me, then you need to come talk to me. If you have a problem with Neil, you need to go talk to Neil. If you got a problem with Mr. James, you need to go talk to Mr. James. That's the biblical way. We don't go talk about it in the community. We don't go talk about it with other people. That is not love. That is the enemy sowing seeds of division in the church and causing problems. Our veterans have risked their lives. What are we willing to risk for Jesus? What are we willing to sacrifice to restore relationships? What are we willing to sacrifice to unite as the church under the message of Jesus Christ? Amen. What are we willing to sacrifice to be who God has called us to be? Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you're doing in your church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a church that loves one another completely and totally. That we would be a church that gets over our petty differences. That we would be a church that comes together and serves together and seeks to win the lost for the message of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would move as only you can. And I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today that they would come, that they would surrender their hearts and their lives to Jesus, and that they would give their heart and their life and say, "I want to follow Jesus." And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a church that obeys you, that follows after you, that does what you have called us to do. Lord, we thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. As we have